University Radio York. University Radio York.
Hello, you're listening to Screen. Sorry about that. There doesn't appear to be any news playing. It seems to be broken. Some technical difficulty, as there usually is. Anyway, yes, this is Screen, and today we're going to be reviewing Spectre and talking about scary films. Because it is the season. I couldn't think of any sort of clever wordplay there. Oh, well. So I am, as always, Liam. I'm joined with Beth.
Hello.
Lewis.
Hello.
And Sasha.
Hello.
Hello. And we should be joined with Laura, or a YSC representative, but they... They didn't show up, but oh well. We can do without them. So should we first talk about what they're playing at YSC this week, which is... tonight we have Man Up. Has anyone seen that film?
Nope.
Does anyone have any idea what this film is?
It sounds like one of those rom-commy films.
Rom-commy films.
Like a buddy comedy.
Yeah.
It's got Simon Pegg, Lake Bell and Olivia Williams.
Oh, I do know this film. Yeah.
Oh, good. Do you want to?
I haven't seen it.
Explain it to us. Have you seen the trailer or anything?
Let's see if I can remember. basically, I think it is a rom com. They advertised it as more of a comedy than a rom. And it does seem quite funny. Like Lake Bell is a really good like comedic actress, and obviously like Simon Pegg, the Edgar Wright films. Mm-hmm. I think she's like a single woman like looking for love and then finds him. It's like kind of like a meet cute in that they kind of, I think they don't like each other at first and then get to know each other and
like every role comes
so, yeah, yeah, so fairly standard stuff.
Yeah. Or maybe I think it's like a blind date and she
Jack
to be someone
played by
know.
Simon Pegg mistakes okay, yeah. Nancy played by Lake Bell for a 34 year old single woman for his 24 year old blind date. Wow, hijinks must ensue.
Yes.
Right. Well, I'm not too fussed. Are you going to go see, is anyone going to go see that? I'm sure someone will. Anyone amongst us?
I don't know, maybe at some point in the future.
As an incredibly manly person, a film called Man Up does appeal to me.
Does it? Yeah. I'm sure it's all biceps and workout regimes and
well,
so
it
on.
Is Simon Pegg.
Yeah, he's
Simon. The renowned muscle man.
Simon
anyway,
protein shakes.
That's enough. that's enough jokes. So that's Man Up playing tonight. On Friday we have Ant-Man. I have seen Ant-Man, and
I like
Ant-Man.
To see Ant-Man.
I do. I really like Ant-Man.
Really?
It should be taken as kind of like the baseline for every superhero film because it doesn't like drown you in. You have to know this character from this and that character from that. Like the problem they had in Avengers 2. It just sort of says, oh, there's Ant-Man, he makes quips and he gets big and he gets small and that's basically it. And then there's also...
I just disagree with the concept of him as a superhero.
You disagree with the concept?
Yeah, it just seems like an intensely boring... It seems like they're just dragging the barrels of superpowers that they can impose on a man.
Ant-Man is one of like the classic superheroes of Marvel.
Yeah, but it doesn't make him any less...
Name.
Okay, well, have you seen the film?
No.
Well,
but there's a reason why I've not seen
it. I think they do it very well. I think that there's a kind of, because he's shrinking and growing all the time, I think the visuals of the fight are very kind of fresh, you know, compared to the usual.
I think I did subconsciously boycott it, though, because of the whole Edgar Wright thing. Just because I'm a massive Edgar Wright fan.
Yeah, but it's a good film. It's a good film, so don't do that.
That's me told.
Yeah, no, I was so annoyed at Avengers 2 and then I saw Ant-Man and I was like, hey, they can still make good superhero films that, you know, just sort of take the basic concept of superheroes and have some fun and don't sort of, you know, drown you in loads of lore that you have to know. Anyway, Ant-Man on Friday, I recommend it. And then there's Amy on Monday. Does anyone know what Amy is?
Amy Schumer's...
Amy,
baby.
No, this is Amy, the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Oh, okay. Oh no, that's Trainwreck, isn't it? Oh yeah.
Amy Winehouse, famous singer. You know who Amy Winehouse is.
I am aware of who Amy Winehouse is. Yes.
Familiar.
Would you like to know her her life story, or perhaps not a life story, probably just the story of her success? But would you like to know more about her? Would you see a documentary about Amy Winehouse?
Maybe.
No.
But I think her father wasn't very happy with that. So.
The film.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But is that kind of one of those things of like, there would
true.
Be no way to make a film that would satisfy them?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I think that comes up the case when it kind of comes up family relations and these kind of things.
Mm.
I was never particularly interested in Amy Winehouse, but you may be. Go give it a look.
Ringing endorsement there.
It's got 96 on Rotten Tomatoes, so it must be okay.
Oh.
Anyway, so just to do a quick rundown, that is. That's Man Up tonight. Doors open at, when is it? 6:45 and filming starts at 7:30. Ant-Man on Friday and Amy on Monday. Anyway, that's YSC covered. Now, shall we talk about Spectre? Mm-hmm. Who amongst us has seen Spectre? I have.
I have.
Beth has. You two haven't.
No.
Shame.
We are
shame
blank
on you.
Texts.
It's a good film. Anyway, Beth, do you want to give us a brief synopsis if you can?
Oh.
I'm aware that is a momentous task. You can give us a not-so-brief synopsis if you want, but don't spoil the whole film.
Well, yeah. I came out of it just very short. It's a definitive Bond film. So it has everything you expect from a Bond film, because you know what you're going to get with James Bond. But it's basically... it's a way... They do try and tie things together... from the past, or the kind of like,
so it takes stuff from Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace and Skyfall
and makes links between them,
ties them up,
which I quite like, because it was kind of a self-contained narrative,
mm-hmm.
which was quite satisfying.
But
just as
so, I mean, the general plot is basically there's a secretive big bad guy at the head of a big bad conspiracy played by Christopher Waltz, and Bond needs to sort of take him on, maybe. But
what an innovative Bond.
Yeah, well,
I would never have thought.
Anyway, we'll get to that. here's a clip, hopefully.
Information is all. Is it not? For example, you must know by now that the 00 program is officially dead. Which leads me to speculate exactly why you came. So, James, why did you come?
I came here to kill you.
And I thought you came here to die.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective.
Anyway, that was a nice little clip with Christopher Waltz talking with James... Bond. James Bond. Whoops. That's my rap music playing.
I disagree with what Bond said there, though. I wouldn't say dying or killing someone is about... perspective.
Well,
they're quite different things. I don't want to go into semantics with Mr. Bond.
We'll get onto the sort of the quips of the film eventually, hopefully.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, Beth, do you want to just sort of give us an idea of what you thought of the film?
Well, I'm not a massive Bond fan, so I kind of went into it knowing I was like having seen the films, but not really being an avid watcher. But yeah, it was just a load of explosions, some Bond girls. it was a bit more badass than it has been in the past.
Yeah,
yeah. I quite like Skyfall though, which a lot of people didn't.
Didn't like Skyfall.
No,
there were too many plot holes for me to. I don't know what I think of Daniel Craig as Bond.
I'm one of those suckers who never sees plot holes until anyone actually tells them to me. While I'm watching the film, I'm just like, wow.
This is great.
Yeah. I think I got it from my parents, who would just sit there and be like, that's not right, and this shouldn't have happened, and his tie is knotted differently than it was in the last scene.
Yeah, yeah. There's still a lot of that, and there's still a lot of the kind of imperfections that you're going to get with a 40-50-year-old character. But like it does what it does well still. It's what you expect, and it does do a decent job if you're going into it wanting to see that.
Do you think you'd get more out of it having recently watched Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace and Skyfall?
Because
I can't remember anything that happened in Quantum of Solace.
Yeah. Given that it is kind of a summary of, and it does do those links between the different films, then it might be nice. Because I was like finding myself not remembering different characters that came back and made a revival, so that's kind of lost on me. So yeah, it probably would make more sense.
Well, see, I had no recollection of, I can vaguely remember Skyfall because just the glaring potholes made me furious.
I just remember M dying
with Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace. I've got no idea. I mean, a French guy blows up in a desert
or
something.
Even the
maybe.
Writer remembers Quantum of Solace,
but I mean, I couldn't recall them, and I didn't think that was. First of all, I didn't think it was necessary to see the film. I mean, you just need to know that some people died, and that's it. The bad guy dies at the end of each Bond film. I mean, is it that surprising? and also that M died. I mean, you kind of maybe need to see Skyfall for a few bits in the film, but generally it's not that important.
Yeah, to carry on.
But I what I liked about it is the fact that kind of for the last few Bond films, the kind of the general, like the villain, as opposed to being, you know, some sort of tasteless racial stereotype who's doing something like blowing up the moon or, you know, knocking out everyone in Fort Knox to steal all of the gold or something. It's been this kind of secret economic conspiracy, you know. So in Quantum of Solace, I think they buy all the world's water or something along those lines.
Yeah. All the water of one country, I think.
Is it just the... I thought they were trying to control just the water of the world, really.
Can I ask a question, though? Yes. Is Spectre based on an original Bond novel, or is it a new rehash of the Bond character with...
I'm pretty sure they've run out of novels, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what I thought, that they'd run out of novels.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother about it earlier, and he said that Anthony Horowitz has started writing them.
Yeah, Anthony Horowitz.
And apparently it's always based on his... Really.
But yeah...
I don't know if that's true.
I got to disagree on some fronts, Beth, because I actually really enjoyed this film, surprisingly, because I usually don't enjoy Bond films.
or a lot of films, as we discovered on this show.
Yeah, thanks. I found this is the first Bond film where I consistently was having fun watching it, and that is not usually the case. Mm. So,
been a bit dry, the Daniel Craig ones, haven't they?
Well, I mean, I like Daniel Craig as Bond, but just generally there's always something wrong. So in Skyfall, the sort of plot holes were glaring, and that made me really hard for me to watch because it just got too stupid. There was a stupidity threshold and it surpassed it by a long shot, and I couldn't keep watching. And what else? I mean, Quantum of Solace was just boring, as was Casino Royale. Whereas this one, it's punchy and fast, and the kind of it actually has a sense of humour that is actually, you know, funny, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice addition. And they even, just for me, they even slightly toned down the misogyny, which is, you know, just a bonus.
They could have done it even more, because I did enjoy
it. Yes, I mean, it could be not a sexist film, but it wasn't.
Yeah. They could entirely change the character.
But it wasn't as bad as, like, what's it? What's the one I really hate? Goldeneye or Goldfinger? No, Goldeneye. Goldeneye. I really hated. I mean, I hated Goldfinger as well, but Goldeneye was the worst for me. It's not that bad. It's not like women are kind of these sex objects you should mentally scar and then have sex with and cast away. It's not that bad.
But that
anymore.
Is logically probable that it's going to get better in as
well. You'd hope, but I mean, every person who plays Bond says their Bonds is this archaic.
Yeah,
you know,
I was quite disappointed because I was excited about having like Monica Bellucci as the Bond girl, but it didn't seem quite like that as much as it could have been. It didn't seem like she was like the big deal in it.
No, I mean, she's very much a kind of a side character.
Which I was kind of disappointed with, and I just feel like because they do have one female character that has a gun and she can handle herself, but they didn't use that to its full extent. They didn't really take it where it could have gone.
Really? I thought they did it right.
In matching him. But I just kind of wanted... I'm probably asking too much of it.
There's a particular fight scene with Dave Bautista, who people might remember from Guardians of the Galaxy, playing Drax the Destroyer or something like that. And he's in this. And, I mean, I think he only says one word in the entirety of the film. But he does it quite well. They kind of stuck on one of those... Bond villain side character gimmicks.
Okay,
so how Oddjob had the throwing hat that decapitates statues and so on. Well, this Dave Bautista has razor thumbnails, but he doesn't use them to
you
their full extent.
You think index finger thumbnail like razors? If anything,
no, he uses it to like tear people's eyes out and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
It is. I don't know. I felt that kind of gimmick could have been played more. But I think Dave Bautista's good in this film for a character who says nothing. He does actually have a personality.
Yeah, I've only ever seen him painted blue in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, but he was good in that.
I have no idea what he looks like.
He looks much the same, but with hair and not blue.
Okay, I'll try. And
he is humongous, though. I mean, he towers over Daniel Craig, and Daniel Craig is quite tall. Yeah. He's a good fight. My point is, there's a fight scene with him in it, and one of the female characters. I'm trying not to spoil too much, but she does have a part to play, and she's sort of, you know, I can handle myself before, and then she actually handles herself more or less.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that bit.
So it's not too bad on that front. I found that I don't know why I just really like the festival of Dios de la Muerte, or whatever they had, what it was called in Mexico, and it starts with a sort of quite fun tracking shot through that festival
of the parade.
It's really enjoyable with a good sort of soundtrack playing over it.
So is the cinematography itself good?
Yes. I went to see it with a friend who didn't appear to like the cinematography in the obligatory car chase scene. I thought it was really good.
It reminded me a lot of a commercial. That was a problem I had with it, the car
Really?
Scene, yeah.
Were you expecting to say Honda at the end?
See, yeah. I, for me, it didn't do that shot they always have in the car adverts where they have, like, you know, where the camera's really low to the ground and it's sort of aiming up and it makes the car look bigger than it actually is. They always do that shot. They did that shot in, like, Jurassic World and stuff. They didn't do it in this one, I don't believe. But yeah, I really had fun in this film. Like, the plot holes aren't too big. The misogyny is not too irritating. It's actually got a sense of humour this time. It doesn't really do the kind of the, you know, fun quips whenever he brutally kills someone, which is a shame. But
your more star?
Yeah, he doesn't do those, which is a shame. It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger stabbing someone into a steam tank going, let off some steam, Barrett, or anything like that. I miss those. But overall, I thought it was just a good Bond film, which is something I've not really encountered before.
It didn't really convert me properly. There were too few many times I kind of sighed in exasperation. But
really?
Yeah, just, well, yeah. I do think it's just generally the whole franchise I'm not really a massive fan of. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't find myself, like, counting down the time for it to end. So in terms of that,
I'm a big Bond fan in generally, so I'll probably go out and see it.
Yeah, ASAP. I think it's worth
it. It's the best Bond film I've seen for my money, and it's the first one I enjoyed consistently. So I think it's quite an achievement.
As an impoverished student, you'd still recommend going to see it?
Well, yeah, but if you're impoverished, I'd also recommend
going to Real.
I don't want to advertise stuff. Well, if you've got a membership to City Screen, go to City Screen. If you haven't, go to Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're more or less the same price if you've got a membership. But yeah, that's Spectre. I mean, Beth's sort of opinion is what, that it was okay, and mine was,
yeah,
hey, I liked it, and that's not that common, so
let's celebrate this
anyway.
Moment of silence.
I guess just sort of for the season, for Halloween, we should talk about some horror films.
Spooky
scary horror films. We haven't got really any scary sound effects or music.
I don't know why you'd need one when I just did that great one.
We can just have someone scream on cue every time we sort of have a safe segue. Yeah, don't do that. It'll be horrible. We'll clip the audio. But anyway, so yeah, I kind of just want to talk about horror and the psychology of it, because I kind of feel that in the industry these days with horror films, it's very much, and I am just stealing from kind of Mark Kermode and other film critics here, that it's very much kind of just there's a quiet bit and then there's a loud bit that doesn't have any kind of subconscious element to it. And just, you know, it's kind of quite bang, you jump because it's a loud noise and you're just sort of built to do it, and it doesn't put its claws in your mind.
One
as
of the things that
older films I feel used to.
Yeah, one of the things that Beth and I were talking about was the relation between newer horror films and more classic, and whether, like, a detriment in special effects and that kind of thing in the old horror films actually doesn't matter because of the quality of plot.
And they were a lot more psychological. They did tend to be more on the dark side rather than just, you know, jump scares.
Well, they had to be, because as soon as you see the bad animation, the animatronic bird, you just lose all fear. Like, Jaws is a good example. Like, the whole film, it's not a terrifying film, but it's quite tense.
Yeah, it's
and then you see the shark at the end, you're like, oh, it's made of plastic.
It is a bit bad. Although, I mean, there are some good bits in, you know, the bit of the woman at the start where she's screaming she's swimming. Her leg actually got broken in that scene. That's a meaningless piece of movie trivia.
Were they, like, dragging around?
They had a thing attached to her foot pulling her underwater, like, to Murray, and it broke her leg.
Axel
screams of pain. That's meaningless movie trivia for you there. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you picked up on kind of, like, design and computer animation and kind of the budget these films, because I feel maybe the kind of the fact that older films had a more of a psychological element is because they didn't have the budget to just sort of easily make horror, if you know what I mean. They had to sort of have something, some other element, because the visuals themselves weren't going to be adequate. But that being said, I mean, my favourite horror film is Alien, and that I think has really good visuals. It's designed by H.R. Giger, or Geiger, I don't know how you say it. I think he's great artist, and I mean, they use kind of darkness and the kind of shiny varnish look of the alien to a good effect. The kind of, it never appears sort of cartoonish. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a big issue with Aliens. I mean, I have many issues with Aliens as a film, but one of my issues is that, like, they make the alien just look kind of rubbery and silly and goofy, and it didn't look like that in Alien. Or maybe that's just my horror kind of making it look better, you know, rose-tinted glasses and the like. But I always felt that, I don't know, I feel there is something to be said that kind of the budget and easy CGI has somewhat weakened.
Yeah, I definitely think that CGI has become more of a crutch for modern horror films. Like, anybody with the technological like ability can now go out and make a horror film and be like, oh well, you know, we've got a new thing. But and it's not, a lot of the time it's just, as you were saying, a kind of rehash of the jump scare thing, which
one tends to be quite lazy and tends to, if you don't get the timing right, it's
like that's one thing that I disliked about Paranormal Activities. They were just it was like, it was interesting for the first 15 minutes of the first film when the first film came out and it seemed something different, and then they just kept going and going. I think that's another issue with modern horrors, is the fact that everything needs to have a sequel.
Well, yeah, one film that Beth and I are both quite big fans of, which is a new one and I think uses CGI well, is Insidious.
Oh, I like Insidious.
Because they don't use CGI until about three quarters in, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's mostly sort of creeping dread. And then they have a couple of scary moments with using Tiptoe Through the Tulip.
And they're, I mean, they're plot heavy as well. The Insidious films are plot heavy.
In the same way as you're saying sequels, there's Insidious 3 came out recently, I think.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's bad.
I didn't mind the second one, though.
Second one
was all right. It loaded a lot of different tropes onto the one film. There was a lot of kind of like, there's a serial killer and he's a demon and there's a small child and there may have been a witch here. Like,
but I did like that it carried on, because I thought Insidious had a great end, and I liked that Insidious 2 picked up straight away from that, because that's kind of what you wanted.
I like the kind of almost prequel element to the second one. It took it back a bit. I liked that.
Yeah, and I, because it was around that time, like The Conjuring and things like that came out, wasn't it? Yeah. So I feel like that point was quite a good time for.
Although I did prefer Insidious 2 to The Conjuring
revival. I don't know if I've seen Insidious 2.
I watched Insidious 2 before I watched The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And it's the same. And well, it's not the same, but it's a similar kind of like, quite an old fashioned house, and there are lots of kind of cellar antics and whatever's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the two, when they paired up, I don't know, I just felt like Insidious worked better. And maybe it's because there was a child element to Insidious that The Conjuring didn't have as much. I mean, The Conjuring had like a family thing, but I don't know.
I really like The Conjuring.
I did like The Conjuring.
I think it could have been because I was with two. I usually like watch horror films just like at home, just when I'm kind
yourself.
Of.
How can you do that to yourself?
Because I don't get scared by them.
I have to watch them with my sister. It's too scary.
Yeah, because I watched The Conjuring like in the cinema with like two of my friends who were like had their hands over their eyes. So I think I probably like gave a different dimension to it as well, given that I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
What about like zombie horror films, a bit more action heavy? What do you think of those ones? Because I'm a big fan of like 28 Days and Weeks Later.
Yeah, I do like those ones.
Yeah. I know the kid from 28 Weeks Later, vaguely.
Oh, really?
We went to the same school.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've not seen nearly enough horror films, really, because I just get scared. But
I don't know what I think about zombie horrors.
What about?
Can be hard because they've kind of bred their own logic and bred their own rules.
Yeah.
So it depends. I really like the ones with the kind of comedic elements.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Zombieland.
I was a massive fan of Shaun of the Dead when it came out. I was a big Shaun of the Dead, but you can't really call that a horror film, can you? I mean, it's obviously a parody on the genre, but
I think the problem is that society has reached saturation point with zombies.
Yeah.
You could say they're beating a undead horse. Sorry, that's awful. But I don't know. I feel it's very hard to make a horror film out of zombies. I mean, particularly because they've reached sort of critical creative mass, as it were. Yeah. There's just too much zombie stuff already.
That's why I'm impressed that The Walking Dead is still going after 6 years-ish.
Yeah, but it's not horror. It's not a horror show, is
it's
it?
It's it's a soap opera.
Yeah, that's
where every now and again they have cool zombies.
My thinking on the zombie kind of thing is that I'm not sure how you make something that kind of dark and unknowable and scary out of a massive shambling horde. It's kind of, zombies are big and apparent and they come en masse. There's not one zombie that's sort of screwed away in the darkness that jumps at you. And I feel that kind of the real element of horror is the unknown, is that, you know, what is in that darkness you can't tell. Whereas a zombie horde, you always see. I don't find zombies scary, particularly.
I think there's definitely a split between sort of action horror and sort of psychological horror or classic horror, because, zombies are definitely on the action side.
Yeah. I do feel like one element that can be used really well and in a horror kind of sense in zombie films is the whole post-apocalyptic kind of thing. I think that can lend an error of definitely. I think that can lend a layer of horror to something that, I mean, zombies don't scare me either, but
really? Have you been scared by apocalypse films
before? Well, sometimes post-apocalyptic stuff can be pretty
and find it makes Mad Max scary, yeah. for example. Oh, fun.
Well, yeah, but bring I mean, in Mad Max doesn't try and paint itself as a horror film.
But it's horrifying in its nature. I mean, the idea is that everyone sort of blasts each other.
But it depends how you work with it. Like, it depends what you do with it.
But I mean, I've never seen a film where it's in a kind of post-apocalyptic society and I went, "Oh my god, how horrifying! I won't sleep tonight." I've never had that myself.
Yeah, but I think there can be elements of like when you were talking about like the hordes of zombies, like World War Z and things like that.
Well,
they do
that's
have...
not a scary film, is it? Wait, is it well, supposed to be scary? Know, yeah. I was not scared at all by that film.
I think those sort of films have, like, overall perhaps aren't scary, but they can still get scares out of, like...
Yeah.
Mentioned it.
I know what you mean.
I'm Legend if it's post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember when I first watched that film being very scared by the bit when he goes into the house and there's the zombies in the dark and things.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That was scary, actually. I remember that part.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes it might... Like, it's the kind of horror that sometimes gets under your skin as opposed to being an out-and-out kind of... shock of horror.
Mm.
It's something that more like you then it comes back to you later, especially when you're young and there are natural disasters on TV and stuff and you've seen stuff like that and then you're like, oh, there's definitely something going, blah blah blah. Like it does it's something that stays with you longer, I find.
Yeah
actually, I mean, there is something to be said of kind of an element of isolation, I think, you know, when you have films like I Am Legend, as you say, when you're kind of in a dark house and there's a load of, you know, every corner hides some kind of strange
that's why
scratching
I love
40 monster
Days
and you're
night.
Completely alone. I think that's kind of scary, generally.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I really love 40 Days of Night when I first watched it. I thought it was really, really good in terms of isolation and stuff.
All right. Well, we're sort of reaching the end of the episode, so I guess we should just sort of do a rundown of what our favourite or kind of few favourite horror films are. I mean, mine is Alien, if it wasn't obvious. It's beautifully constructed, intelligent, horrible, harrowing psychological attack. It's brilliant.
What's not to love?
Anyway,
I've watched two horror films on Netflix recently, which were actually surprisingly good. One was it's like a two-man film about this guy who has to follow this cameraman gets employed by this guy to follow him and film his life, and he ends up being a complete and utter weirdo. And that's actually really creepy. It doesn't sound it, but it actually ends up being really scary. And then an Australian film, The Babadook.
What's the name of the...
It's Creep.
Creep, okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Creep, on Netflix. And the other one is The Babadook, which is a kid's story coming to life, and it terrifies the mother as much as the child, if not more.
I think Babadook got a lot of critical acclaim, but I never saw it.
It is very good.
Okay.
Well, I think the scariest film I ever saw was, partly because I was very young, was The Mummy.
The terrible CGI mummy.
Oh, it didn't
it was
matter.
So
that it was,
good.
He pulled out someone's eyes and then put them in his own head. but I think if you haven't seen The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock, we didn't mention any Hitchcock, but that is a great scary film.
That is classic.
I really disagree, but whatever. Oh. Hey, Sasha, do you want to just...
I feel like I'm under pressure.
No.
I don't know. I like. I'm a big Silence of the Lambs fan, and when I watched it when I was maybe 12, that was pretty scary. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, that's us talking about horror. We're more or less reached the end now. So, just want to say thanks for listening. If you have, I've been Liam. I've been joined by Beth, Lewis, and Sasha. Up next is the York Sport Report.
University Radio York. University Radio York.